How many of you have ever taken on a job, maybe professionally or just a task in your life that you've needed to do, but you didn't really know what you were doing? Anybody ever been there? I remember shortly after I got hired at Southern Care, I got asked to take on a different job role outside of chaplaincy, overseeing the volunteer program, which was a decent job. I liked it. It was fun. But when I first got started, I had a day, not even a full day, with the girl who was doing the job before me, and that was her last day. So, I mean, you know, she was on her way out. And then I had a half a day with another volunteer coordinator in another office. It's putting it mildly to say that I was way in over my head and definitely learning as I go. So we've all had those experiences where, you know, maybe it's a professional job, maybe it's a new task in a professional job, or maybe just a chore around the house or a project around the house where it's like, oh, this really needs to be done. I really need to finally, you know, get that porch fixed or put the new steps up or whatever the case may be. And you get started, and as you get started, you realize you have no idea what you're doing or how to do it. We've all had that experience. Many people, maybe many Christians even, I think have had that experience with prayer, where they know that the Bible talks about prayer. They know that prayer is important. They know that they should pray, and maybe even have started to pray, but have this mindset where they're just like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have absolutely no clue what I'm doing. I have no idea what I'm supposed to pray for. I have no idea what I'm supposed to talk to God about. Well, if you're here this morning and that's you, I hope and I pray that this time together in God's Word would be helpful to you. If you're here and that's not you, and you feel like you know how and what to pray, that's still my prayer, is that this would be good and profitable and helpful to you as we look simply at the heading of what to pray from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. So go ahead and open your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read the section that's there. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7, just so you can kind of see what's going on around the text. But we're really just going to focus on verse 6. We're not going to do any explanation of the verses around it. So Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, before we get that far, I let me share just a couple things with you. First, I confess that I goofed just a smidge last week. Ideally, I probably should have done what or how to pray along with Philippians 4:6 and what to pray with Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. So keep Matthew chapter, even if you have to, stick a finger in Matthew chapter 6 at the Lord's Prayer and read back through it if you have to. Because last week's message from Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is going to pair very closely with what we're dealing with today. How and what very much go hand in hand. We have to know what we're talking to the Lord about in order to talk to the Lord. But we also have to know how to talk to the Lord in order to bring that which we are praying for to the Lord. So Matthew 6, 5 to 15 and Philippians 4, 6 really go well together. So I should have kind of flip-flopped the texts and dealt with Philippians last week and Matthew this week, but that's okay. So bear with us, bear with me. And we'll make it through it. So what to pray? Let me remind you also, before we actually dig into the meat of the text, of what prayer is. The very first Sunday that we did this series on prayer, we talked about why we pray. And we started by defining what prayer is. And if you remember, I appealed to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 98, for a good definition of prayer, which is simply this. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And this is kind of my pared down definition of the Westminster Confession. In other words, prayer is how we talk to and commune with God through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And last week I mentioned the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. That's part of that definition. Adoration is the A, confession, C, thanksgiving, T, S, supplication. Prayer is how we talk to and commune with God through adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. But the question here is, what do we pray? What do we pray? And the main point that I want you to draw from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 is a very simple one and will make sense along the way. It's simply, don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray. And as we understand not worrying and praying instead, I want to give you three prayer categories. Three prayer categories from Philippians 4. And the first one, brace yourself, because this is shocking stuff. The first category is everything. Pray about everything. And that might seem overly simplistic, but it's really, really helpful when you know that you can talk to the Lord about anything and about everything. Did you notice how Paul says it? He says it both in the negative and in the positive. He says, be anxious for nothing. Instead, pray about everything in prayer and supplication. Look at how he says it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to the Lord. Now, it's important to keep this in mind. Let me throw this out there and just have this as a constant preface in your mind in regards to prayer. In a definition from the Westminster Confession, there's that little clause that says things agreeable to his will. Now, let me ask you this question. How many times has the Lord answered a prayer that you have prayed positively? He's answered your prayer, yes, if you will, but not in the way that you expected. That's happened to me more often than not. Very rarely when I'm praying about a situation in life or something that I'm working through or something that I'm walking through, very rarely has God ever answered my prayers the way that I have anticipated him to do so, or the way that I have desired for him to do so. And that's a good thing. Do you know why that's a good thing? Because God knows what we need far better than we do. God knows our needs before we even think of them or ask of them. And so it is a good thing that God answers our prayer in according to his will. But it's always good to keep that in your mind. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to always add that phrase, God according to your will, God according to your will. It is good to pray that. When you're praying, it is good to give acknowledgement to the fact that you want to pray according to the will of God, that God's will would be done. Remember, we talked about that last week. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That God would help us to be agreeable to his will. But we pray about everything. There's nothing that's off limits. But before he states that positively, he states it negatively by saying, be anxious about nothing. Be anxious about nothing. The word anxiety means to be troubled, to care, to be troubled, to care for something, to be fretful, or to be unduly concerned. And that last clause is probably my favorite in regards to what it means to be anxious. Because it's good to have concern about things. It's good to care about things. But anxiety is never a good thing. Because anxiety is always being unduly concerned about things. The most literal definition, the most literal translation of the word anxiety would mean that which tears at the soul. And here's the reality. We'll come back to this when we get to category number two. We all have things that tear at our soul. We all have things that we are unduly concerned about. But here's the fact. Here's what the scriptures tell us. The scriptures tell us to not be anxious about anything. Not just here. If you rewind back to Matthew chapter 6, read the Lord's Prayer and then read a handful more verses down to verse 25. And from Jesus' own mouth, he commands us not to worry, to not be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. But then he states it positively by saying, pray about everything. There is no bound. Pray that God's will would be done. Being mindful that there is nothing outside of God's control and that he rarely answers prayers the way that we expect him to. But pray about everything. Pray about your health. Pray about your neighbors. Pray for the lost. Pray for the growth of your own soul. Pray for your work. Pray for your witness. Pray about your fears. Pray that God would give you an understanding of his word. Pray that God would help you grow spiritually. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for their spiritual growth and for their salvation. Pray about everything. The list could go on and on and on and on and on of what we can pray for. But the point is, we need to pray about everything. Pray about everything. Now you might be thinking to yourself, okay, Pastor, that's well and good, but that's a pretty big category, and that doesn't really give me a lot of specificity. Well, let me put a starting line in place. Maybe everything is too big of a category for us to get started in our prayer life. So let me pick up where Paul picks up and give you category number two, which is your burdens or your anxieties. Remember, I mentioned that we all have things that are troubling us. Every single one of us sitting in this room. If there are not things that are on your mind that you care about, that you're burdened for, then something's wrong. Or you need to be the one up here teaching and preaching about how to have a life that doesn't have any burdens. Because we all have things that we are burdened for. So let me ask you this. Take a second, and where you're sitting, I want you to just think about something that you're burdened about. I want you to think about something that over the course of this past week, you've been anxious about. Something that you've been worried about. Something that chews at your mind and gnaws at your mind and tears at your soul and nags at your spirit. We all have them. We all have those things in our life. We do. I promise you, we all do. So think about whatever that thing is. Just do that for a second. Now let me ask you another question. How much time did you spend this past week? Whatever that thing is for you, whatever that tear at your soul is, how much time this past week did you spend worrying about it and thinking about it and mulling over it and musing over it and maybe having conversations with others about it? But then stack that up with how much time did you spend talking to God about it? How much time did you spend praying about it? Think about it this way, friends. If we took the amount of time that we spend dwelling and musing upon our anxieties and upon our burdens, and we turned that into prayer, how much more time would we spend praying? For me, it would be a lot. A lot. I don't even want to begin, for fear of judgment, to begin to try to quantify how much more time I would be spending talking to God about things that burden me if I would just take the time that I spend thinking about it and musing over it and using that as my indicator to pray. Well, I've just been thinking about, okay, that's an indicator that I need to pray. Instead of thinking about it under my own power and with my own cognition, to pray about it. Did you notice how Paul used the phrase in Philippians 4:6? He says, do not be anxious about anything. But he doesn't just leave the command there. He gives us an instead. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. So what should we pray for? We should pray about everything. Where should we start? Start with what burdens you. What burdens are you carrying in your heart and in your mind this morning? What troubles your soul? That is a good place to start your prayer life. It is good to start with that which is troubling your soul most earnestly. Flip back to Matthew chapter 6. For anybody who hasn't already put a finger in Matthew chapter 6, jump back to Matthew chapter 6. And let me encourage you to do something. If you're prone to anxiety, if you're prone to worry, you need to highlight Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34 in your Bible. And you need to become very, very, very familiar with them. Because these verses will be helpful to you if you are prone to fear and worry and anxiety. This is what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. If you're prone to fear and to worry and to anxiety, and if there are things in your life that are tearing at your soul, if you have anxieties and if you have burdens, let me exhort you to highlight Philippians 4:6 and to highlight Matthew 6:25 to 34. Write each scripture reference in the opposite margin so you know to go back and forth between those two passages of scripture. And then lastly and most importantly, let me exhort you to pray about those things. Pray about those things. Bring those issues, those requests to the Lord. Paul says to pray about everything with prayer and supplication. The word supplication means a request out of a specific need, a request or a desire that arises out of a specific need. The burdens that we have in life are put there by specific needs. Take those requests to the Lord. Cast those anxieties and those fears upon the Lord. Friends, this is a hard reality for us to swallow because we all face this temptation. We all face this temptation to battle our fear and our anxiety on our own. And we could spend the whole day talking about what they are, be it a pending diagnosis from a doctor, be it a health issue that's looming, be it a wayward family member or an unsaved friend or loved one, or stress at work or relational tension. Or worst of all, the worries in our mind of the possibility of something happening. Nancy mentioned this during Sunday school this morning, that usually what we worry the most about is what might happen, and usually that never happens. In a nutshell, what Paul is doing here in Philippians 4:6 is he's saying that the direct remedy for burden and care and anxiety is prayer. Every time you begin to think about or worry about something that burdens you, pray about it. Begin talking to God about it. Anytime you sense your mind drifting and just floating around in whatever it is that's troubling you, instead of just floating around in your troubles, pray, talk to the Lord, worship the Lord, and ask that His will would be done in that situation. Ask that His provision would be given to you in that situation. Ask that He would be glorified and that you would be helped in that situation. And we really can't get too much more specific than that, because you know what's specifically in your mind. When I say your burdens, every single one of you, I guarantee, had something in your life that came to your mind. Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about what's troubling you? Have you gone to God with the requests of your heart? Have you gone to God with supplications for those needs? What should we pray for? We should really pray about everything. Pray about everything. And if you don't know where to start in regards to praying about everything, pray about what burdens you. Pray about what's troubling you. Pray about what's causing you fear, what's causing you to sleepless nights, and what's causing you undue trouble. Pray about those things. Now, this might seem, still might seem a little bit more broad. So let me give just a little bit more specificity. The third category is the scriptures. Pray the scripture. Let me give you a couple of examples of how to do this. The reality is simple. We have things in life that burden us, and we have things in life that trouble us. And the scriptures call us to pray about those things. The scriptures call us to pray about everything. But the scriptures do not leave us without examples of what that looks like. The scriptures do not leave us without demonstrations of how God has helped people in the midst of those circumstances. So, for example, if you're prone to anxiety, you can go to a passage like Philippians 4:6 and you can pray, God, help me to not be anxious about anything, but help me to pray about everything. Help me to come to you with prayer and supplication and make my requests known to you. Use the words of the scripture. You can go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 25 to 34, and you can pray that passage back to God, asking Him to help you to not be worried about life or food or clothing, to ask God to give you a mindfulness about the birds of the air and how they neither sow nor reap, yet God feeds them and God provides them. And you can ask God to help you take that imagery to heart and to have a trust and a faith in knowing that He's going to provide for you too. You can pray Matthew 6:25-34, asking God to give you a thoughtful consideration of the lilies of the field and how not even Solomon in all of his wealth and majesty was not adorned with the beauty of the wild flowers of the field. How much more will God provide for us? The crown jewel of His creation is what humanity is when you look at Genesis. How much more will God provide for us than He has already for the birds and for the flowers? Maybe what troubles you is the need for spiritual growth. You can go to a passage like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, where it says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality and that each one know how to control his own body." We can go to a passage like that and we can pray that back to God and say, "God, it is your will that I would grow. It is your will that I would be more like Jesus. Help me. Help me to have self-control. Help me to put off the old man and to put on the new." The passages of scripture in Colossians chapter 3 that we have been reciting and hopefully memorizing as our benedictions on Sunday mornings. You can go to a passage like Colossians 3:16 and you can say, "God, let your word dwell richly within me." And here's the thing. The scriptures are far more exhaustive than you or I can ever be left to our own devices. Go to the Psalms and read through the Psalms. Many of you know this, that the vast majority of the Psalms are prayers. Prayers of David, prayers of Asaph, prayers of the sons of Korah. They're prayers. Use the words of the Psalms to pray to God, and you will find yourself praying about a far wider plethora of issues and things than you ever could if you just sit down before the Lord and start praying. Let the Bible itself be the fuel and the starting block for your praying. What should we pray? We should pray about everything. We should pray about our anxieties. And notice that connection. Notice that connection between prayer and anxiety. Do not be anxious about it, anything, but in everything, pray. So let me challenge you to do something. This next week, as those issues, as those things going on in your life begin to chew at your mind, and you begin to sense yourself worrying about something, use that as your indicator to pray. Use that as the big alarm bell, that your sense of worry is the alarm bell saying, okay, it's time to pray. I'm worrying about this, so I'm going to pray about it. I'm thinking about this more than I should be, so I'm going to pray about it. Let that be the alarm in your mind to go to God in prayer and to not sit in the stew of our own self-musings. Why should we do that? Because God is far wiser than we are. God knows the issues that we face far more deeply and far greater than we ever could. And so what do? According to the scriptures, 1 Peter, cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. How do we cast our cares upon the Lord? By praying, by going to him, by going to the Lord in prayer and asking him to help us. And friends, notice the connection between anxiety and prayer. When there are things that are burdened on your mind, pray about them. And then Paul in verse 7 tells us what the result is. He tells us what happens when we do this. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you know why some people, why some Christians don't experience the peace of Christ guarding their hearts and mind in Christ Jesus? Because they don't pray. Because they don't take their burdens and their cares to the Lord. Because our temptation is to think that we're smart enough and wise enough and skilled enough to handle our issues on our own. That might sound harsh, but it's so true. It is so true that our temptation is to be autonomous. Our temptation is to live life separated from God. Linda read something from the front of her Bible today that fits in with this so well, is that pride is an attitude of living independent from God. And we all have that temptation. And that's why the peace of Christ doesn't guard our hearts, because we're trying to guard our hearts with our own skill, with our own wisdom and our own ability. And it's not going to work. If you're here this morning and that is your temptation in life, and you're like, I need a little more time. I got to get this all figured out. Let me ask you this. A, how much time have you spent praying about that? And if not much time, let me ask you another question. How is you working on it yourself working for you? Probably not very well. Pray about everything. And if you don't know where to start, pray about what troubles you. Pray about your burdens. And let me encourage you to go to the scriptures. If you don't know where to begin and you don't know where to start with going to the scriptures, I will gladly help you. I will gladly give you passages of scripture to begin that journey. The result that we have when we come to the Lord is that we pray. When we feel worrisome thoughts come to our mind, let that be our prayer alarm. The result is the peace of God guarding our hearts and guarding our minds. And we need the peace of God guarding our hearts in Christ Jesus. And therefore, we must pray. We must pray. If you're here this morning and you still feel like you don't really know what to pray or how to pray, again, I will gladly help you. Let's talk. Let's get together over coffee or over lunch. And I would love to sit and chat with you and pray with you. But let me give you just a few suggestions. One care that is often weighing down upon people is the need for some type of deliverance. One of the things that cause the greatest anxieties are undealt with issues. And I don't know where everybody is in this room spiritually, but the fact of the matter is being under the wrath of God is one of the weightiest places to be. But Christ has given us freedom. Christ is the Son of God who came and lived a perfect life and died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We can be free from that burden of sin because Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. And if we will place our faith and our trust in Him, we will be set free. The word of Christ will begin to dwell richly within us. And the peace of Christ will begin to guard our hearts and minds as we come to the Lord in believing prayer. Our greatest need, whether saved or not saved, is to be set free. Because there are so many things in this life that seek to arrest our attention, that seek to possess our attention. And we need to be set free from that. There is only one person in all of history who has the power to set us free from those temptations. And that is Jesus. And so we need to go to God in prayer. What should you be praying about? Everything. Where should you start in praying about everything? That which is burdening and troubling your soul. Jesus died and rose so that you could have that freedom. Now go to God in believing prayer and allow the peace of God to guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ as you seek to be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests and your needs known to God, trusting that He already knows what they are and is already working out His plan for your preservation and your provision. Let's pray. Father God, thank You that we are able to come to You in believing prayer. The categories that we have looked at in regards to prayer this morning, Lord, I fear may be vague or ambiguous. But Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would teach us Your scriptures, that Your Spirit would help us to see our greatest needs, and that we would be brought to our knees, and that we would pray to You. God, that we would not neglect the discipline of talking to You, of adoring You, of confessing to You, of thanking You and making supplications to You because of the fear of the unknown. God, as we come before You and as we pray to You, both corporately and individually, I pray that we would sense the peace, Your peace, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. God, help us to be keenly aware this next week and in the coming days of the birds of the field and how they neither reap nor sow, but yet You provide for them. How much more, God, we know that You are going to provide for us. Lord, that we would be keenly aware of the lilies and the flowers of the field, that they neither toil nor spin, yet You've adorned them in such beauty. God, help us to rest in knowing that You will adorn us in godliness and in godly character. Help us to not worry for tomorrow the sufficient are the cares of today. And God, You promise us new mercies every morning that will see us through the burdens and the cares of each day. May we rely solely upon You, and may we be a praying people, a people who pray earnestly about everything, about our cares, and who use the scriptures as the framework to come to You. Bless Your people richly, I ask, in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. Take your hymnal.